The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to hour number two of Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines along with Vince Ferrar. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan for their absolute August sale, their lowest prices of the year. Vince, we've got a very special guest joining us.
We do. Timed out really well after the announcement that Kennedy Chandler was committing to the University of Tennessee earlier today. And the person that was there with him, talking to him, and there for that announcement is the National Recruiting Director and NBA analyst for ESPN. He is a fine Italian. He is on Twitter at Paul Biancardi. Mr. Paul Biancardi. Paul, Vince, and Jimmy in Knoxville, how you doing?
Is there any other kind of Italian besides fine? It has to be fine.
Well, it's just for
how you guys doing.
We're great, Paul. It's a given, just for emphasis, you know, just to remind people, you know, just to make sure. But hey, you were there obviously with Kennedy today. Did you have a feel for which direction he was going to go prior to his announcement?
Yeah, I had a feeling it was going towards Tennessee. But, you know, Vince, Jimmy, honestly, when recruiting is going to happen, guys get a little nervous. They get a little tense. They get unsure with themselves. And you go back and forth sometimes with the decision on which way you're going to actually go and how are we going to actually do this today. Like, a lot of guys want to do it, and then when the day comes, they get scared. They get cold feet, and they don't want to do it. But Kennedy was very, very secure with Tennessee, and I felt that was the way he was leaning for the last couple of weeks.
So for those that maybe have heard his name but aren't familiar with him, what kind of commitment is this for the University of Tennessee to get this kind of player in Kennedy Chandler?
Oh, this is huge. I mean, first of all, from my perspective, he's the number one point guard in the entire senior class. And as we know at college ball, I mean, that's the position you want to get it right at. And Kennedy Chandler is a fantastic point guard. In fact, he's the third highest ranked player to go to Tennessee in the ESPN era of recruiting rankings. It was Tobias Harris, Scotty Hopson, and now Kennedy Chandler. And fourth on that list is Jaden Springer, who's going to be a freshman next year. So he brings everything that you want as a point guard, and Rick Barnes continues to show college basketball that, you know, he's one of the best in the game. Sometimes I don't think Coach Barnes gets maybe the attention that other coaches get in the SEC or nationally. I mean, what he did at Texas over the years with postseason play, including a Final Four, and what he has done at Tennessee, in my mind, has been nothing short of a miracle.
Paul, you fine Italian. I do want to ask you, what do you like about Kennedy Chandler's game?
Oh, we could talk about that for hours. Let me sum it up quickly. He's fast and he's quick. He's got a blow-by dribble, which means he can get by almost anybody off the bounce, Jimmy, and then he gets into the paint. And his greatest asset is the ability to find guys, whether he throws the lob or the kick-out pass or the throw-ahead pass in transition. I mean, he is a pass-first point guard, but he's not a pass-only point guard. He's really extended his range in the last couple of months. He's gotten in the gym and worked on his three-point shooting. He's got that nice, tight little float game when he gets into the paint. He can disrupt people defensively because he's small and quick. He's 6'1", but he's really strong, and he's really explosive at 6'1". He can get up into people, and we all know how much Rick Barnes loves to play man-to-man defense. And you know, with Rick Barnes, it's playing defense and playing with intensity. And that's Kennedy Chandler. He does those two things well. But I'll tell you what, he can execute in the half court, or he can make the Volunteers run in transition.
Paul, if you go back to the first 2 years of Rick Barnes at Tennessee, he didn't sign very many players rated higher than 125 in the nation. Now he's been on a roll in recent years. Are you a little bit surprised at how productive his recruiting has been the last two, 3 years at Tennessee?
No, guys, I went head-to-head with Rick Barnes when I was at Boston College, and he was at Providence. I'm not surprised by his recruiting success, and I'm certainly not surprised by the on-court success. Rick does a great job of identifying the players that can play for him and the ones that they can get. And when he first got to Tennessee, as we all know, the job was a tough job at the time recruiting-wise. It had to change its identity. And he got some guys that were so well-evaluated, one being Grant Williams, who I know very well. And Grant lives probably a couple of miles from me. And he wanted to be ranked so bad in the top 100, like a lot of kids do. But Grant was in that 150 marker, as you mentioned. He had a lot of good things going for him. He was a four-star recruit, but there were things missing. And what was missing was a coach to push him, a strength coach to whip him into shape. And when those two things happened, I mean, Rick Barnes got the most out of Grant Williams, and Grant showed what a great player he was. And I think that's what Rick Barnes does exceptionally well. I think he evaluates the talent, then he develops the talent.
We're visiting with Paul Biancardi from ESPN. He's a national recruiting director for Hoops and NBA draft analyst who was on the announcement with Kennedy Chandler today when he announced his commitment to the University of Tennessee. Paul, one of the things he mentioned in talking about his announcement was that he wanted to – he loved the culture at Tennessee, and that he also mentioned about how Tennessee – the toughness of the coaching staff, and you know that they work hard on a daily basis. Does Kennedy Chandler have? He must for Tennessee to recruit him. But talk about those intangibles that makes him the perfect fit for the University of Tennessee. Besides, obviously, his skill sets.
Yeah, the skill set is 5-star, number 12 player in the ESPN 100. But it's the traits that you talk about, Vince. He wants to be coached, which means he has a very teachable spirit. And he wants somebody who's going to be hard on him. He's told me that. He says, I want somebody who's going to push me. Now, all the coaches that were involved, Duke, Kentucky, Memphis, Carolina, they're all going to push him too. I think what Rick Barnes did, and Kim English did a fabulous job as the point person in all this, but Rick Barnes was the most relatable to Kennedy Chandler. And he told me, he said, hey, Coach Barnes is a funny guy. He tells a lot of stories, but when we get on the court, he's real serious, and I like that about him. I need someone who's going to push me, and I need someone I can relate to. And that's what Kennedy Chandler told me, and that's where Rick Barnes won this recruiting battle. He was relatable to Kennedy Chandler, and that was the difference. But he's a hard worker, he's coachable, and he wants to be pushed.
Knowing what you know about those two 5-stars that are on the roster right now, and Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson from a year ago, what are the chances that Chandler, Johnson, and Springer get to play together at all at the University of Tennessee?
I think it's a good chance. As good as those players are, you know, not every 5-star player is a green light to go to the NBA draft. Sometimes it takes multiple years, and sometimes 5-star guys don't get drafted. But I think there's a good chance that they can all play together. You know, of course, if Johnson or Springer has a breakout performance, that's going to initiate the draft to come looking at him. But I would think with natural progress, those guys should be at Tennessee for a couple to a few years. And I think there's a real good chance. And seeing Springer, Chandler, and Johnson together, boy, oh boy, if I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan, I am really excited.
Paul, what are your thoughts as far as Tennessee recruiting a couple of power forward type players? Paolo Banchero, who's out of Seattle, and then Jabari Smith, who's out of Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are prime players in the class. They're top 10 guys. If Tennessee could get either one, I mean, I couldn't think of a better 1-2 combination in the country than Kennedy Chandler and one of those guys. But it remains to be seen. You know, a lot of the big boys are recruiting both of them. But, you know, when you get a good point guard to commit to your program, sometimes he becomes a hook and an attraction to bring other players. And I think this commitment is going to pay big dividends down the road. Even if it's not with Smith and Banchero, it's going to pay dividends with somebody down the road.
I want to get your take on your thoughts on Brandon Huntley Hatfield. He was at IMG Academy. Now he's playing out of Pennsylvania this upcoming season. How good do you think he is? He's got Tennessee listed among his favorites.
Yeah, I just had a chance to watch Brandon Huntley Hatfield probably five or six times, believe it or not, in the last month. There was just an all-star game in Nashville that I attended, and he was there. And then I saw him at another event in South Carolina. I got to tell you this. He's 6'9". He looks like an NBA player right now. I mean, the physical tools are all there. Long body, strong, explosive. He's powerful inside, and he's got great skill on the outside, the ability to shoot it from deep range. Sometimes, though, a lot of these young guys, they get enamored with that three-point line. They fall in love with it, and all he wants to do at times is just stand there and be a shooter. And at 6'9", 225, I mean, he can get work done in the paint and at the rim. He's got to do more of that. He's number 7 in our rankings, and he's as good as he wants to be. You know, if he had the work ethic or the focus and discipline like Kennedy Chandler, he'd be up for a top 5 player in the class. He's really, really talented. He's just got to put the talent and the work ethic together on a consistent basis. He could be a special player in the class. I think Tennessee is there with him, but you know, I don't know how tight they are with him right now.
Paul, last few things with you. One last on Tennessee, and then I want to go off topic a little bit. With Kim English, you mentioned how important he was for Kennedy Chandler. He seems to be absolute star in the making. Rick Barnes has talked about him in that way. What do you think about this Tennessee coaching staff that's garnered a lot of recognition and different lists and things like that in addition to Kim English?
Yeah, I mean, Rick Barnes has always, I thought, had great staffs, whether it was Texas or at Tennessee. And I just think guys that work for him, you know, he's not a micromanager, but he's a guy who oversees everything that has to be done. And when you talk about Kim English, when I talked to Kylan Chandler, Kennedy's dad, about Kim English and his recruiting, because other recruits, you know, other assistant coaches were recruiting Kennedy, and those are high-level coaches at Duke and Kentucky. He said Kim English was really consistent with his recruiting message, really relatable. So I agree with you guys. I think he has a wonderful personality, and he has a way of connecting with people. And then you have Des Oliver, and I think it's Mike Schwartz. I think two exceptional assistant coaches in terms of their work ethic, their ability to scout games, evaluate talent. I see Des Oliver on the road a lot, as I do Mike. They're grinders. Look, when you work for Rick Barnes, you have to be a grinder because he's a grinder. And he works at this all the time. He did it at Providence, did it at Clemson. He was fabulous at Texas. And Tennessee, I think it's a minor miracle what he's done there.
Paul, Jimmy had mentioned a report earlier that, you know, there was discussion of maybe a plan of perhaps doing a sort of a non-conference invite type of bubble scenario for college basketball. Could you see something like that working over a couple of week period at all?
I think so. I think we've seen the bubble work with the NBA. A college bubble would be a scaled down bubble version, obviously. That NBA bubble, I was told, cost $150 million for everything. Now, I don't know if that number is accurate, but I was told from a very good source that all the time that they spend there with every single cost is $150 million. So, obviously, for college basketball's sake, the bubble would be a lot shorter in time and a lot less expensive. But, yes, if you did something maybe, you know, between semesters and had a bubble at that time, I think would be a great idea. I also think playing games within proximity this year should happen. So, for example, if you have a non-conference schedule that has all different teams flying in from all over the country, you may have to put those games on hold for a year. Maybe Tennessee just plays as many teams in the state, and as many teams in the state get to play Tennessee as well. I think that would save on travel costs. Obviously, it would be an easier situation by playing teams that are so close in proximity. I think some of the NCAA's people are going to look at playing games with close proximity this year to eliminate travel as much as possible.
Paul, we were interviewing Desmond Oliver, Tennessee assistant, recently, and he said that he thought that this current roster at Tennessee was more talented and deeper than the team that won 31 games 2 years ago, but they don't have a player of the year guy like a Grant Williams. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, they got Pons back, and he was the defensive player of the year in the SEC. I don't know if they have that stud, that go-to guy on their roster, but, boy, they have a lot of talent in Tennessee, and I think that maybe they don't have that superstar, but I do think they have a team of excellent players. Josiah James, you know, this could be a breakout season for him. I know the point guard, this Kobe, you know, was a great surprise. And Pond's coming back. I think he's going to control things, obviously, on the defensive end. And I look at him to be the star of this team.
Real quick on the NBA bubble, we'll let you go. What did you think about the way the games that we saw in the regular season, one, and then two, who's your pick for NBA champ?
Well, first of all, I'm starting to like these virtual fans. I really am. They're cool, you know? And so that's number one. I like the way they have a home team designated. Look, you guys are watching the games. The games have been fantastic. And the scoring is so high, probably because teams haven't had a lot of time to work on their defensive coverages. That's my opinion. So it's been exciting. It's been competitive. And I'm going with the Boston Celtics. That's my hometown team. But, yeah, that's my hometown team, guys. I grew up 5 minutes from the old Boston Garden with Red Auerbach and Havlicek and Dave Cowens and Larry Bird. But I do like the way Boston scores the ball. They got Kemba Walker. They got Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I just think it's a team that puts the ball in the basket from a variety of spots. And I think they'll make enough stops to win it all.
If they do, I'll smoke a cigar.
Yeah, you got to light it up, right?
There you go. That's right.
It's
going
to be over, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that would get Grant Williams, VFL, a championship. Yeah. Hey, Paul, really appreciate it. Great job. Always enjoy your insights, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Have a great weekend, Paul.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. That is the National Recruiting Coordinator for basketball and draft analyst for ESPN, Paul Biancardi.
And that is Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. When we come back, we'll have more. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. Not only the lowest prices of the year, but know this, Oak Ridge Nissan is Tennessee's number one volume Nissan dealer. And, folks, there is a reason. Come find out why at Oak Ridge Nissan. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
We're what Willis was talking about. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar and Jimmy Himes. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale ongoing right now. And know this, bad credit, slow credit, recent bankruptcy, everyone rides, they will work with you, and you will not find a better trade for your vehicle than what you will get at Oak Ridge Nissan. I do want to mention to you that at 5:05, we're going to be joined by Kennedy Chandler. Look forward to visiting with Tennessee's most recent basketball commit, the five-star. We're also going to be joined later in the 6 o'clock hour by Sierra Burdick and by Steve Hamer. And we've got Brian Penske, Tennessee women's soccer coach, joining us in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about the NCAA championships being postponed because they did not get at least 50% of teams participating. Just a few other notes out there I want to mention to you. So sad news coming out of UAB. There was a linebacker, Alan Merrick, 19 years old. He passed away from a gunshot wound while visiting in his home in Gadsden, Alabama. Police said it appears to have been an accidental shooting. Also, the NCAA Bill of Rights. So there's an effort to go forward with the name, image, and likeness. The NCAA has asked Congress to help with some type of a format so that they would have guidance on proceeding with this. Vince, how do you think this is going to work out?
I don't know, Jimmy. I honestly have not seen much on that in terms of the recently with the name, image, and likeness. I think eventually we're going to see it in major college athletics, but or you know across the board in college athletics. But in terms of you know the specifics of it or when, I don't have a feel for it right now. What about you?
I think they've got to put some parameters on it. I just my concern all along, and I understand the thought process behind it. What I don't want to see, and the door's open for this, is that if you got a really good quarterback, or and I don't know, Florida wants him, and so they got a booster that's willing to pay him $200,000 for an autograph. There's nothing that says he can't do that. Now you got the Wild Wild West. But I also don't know how you put limitations on it. Can you say the limit on an autograph is $5,000? That's hard to put a limit on market value like that. You can put a limit, and as you know, college football players, college athletes can get a job. So if you wanted a job and you wanted to work, I don't know, as a welder, then you know you're getting $20 an hour. You're getting what everybody else is getting. But whenever you start doing this, signing autographs, there's not a set amount that's valued for an autograph. And so that concerns me about what they might get paid by boosters. I know that – here's my take on this, and I know that there are a lot of people who disagree, and that's okay. But is the NCAA has a problem, and I'm gonna say the NCAA is kind of like a dam that has a leak. You know, you need to fix it. But I think when you open up the name, image, and likeness, now you're punching more holes in the dam, you're going to have a floodgate. So I have concerns about it going in that direction. If there is a way, and I haven't seen a plan that I like, but if there's a way to limit it, the amount of money that's going to go out there, and you don't have these bidding wars for quarterbacks or running backs or linebackers or receivers, then I'm okay with it. But I don't know how you stop that. I don't know how you prevent it. And so that's my concern. Philosophically, I get it. Policy-wise, implementation, Vince, I have a concern.
I don't have the answers on the exact format on how to do it. I've seen it obviously debated and different ideas, and there's flaws in everything, but there's flaws in the current system as well. And the key is they're trying to get student-athletes to still value the college experience and not – obviously they're under a lot of pressure because they're for a lot of time for, you know, for so long they've seen all this money made for everybody. And, yes, they get some with their scholarship, but in the percentage and the ratio of the money being made for everyone else, there's more money that – they feel like they should have. So who knows what it looks like moving forward. I mean, with the finances and the economy of college athletics now, who knows what it's going to look like moving forward. So, but I think that's the big thing is that it's broken now. So I'm not going to be open to another idea that you may seem broken. Because it already is broken in many different ways. So if someone
but you can make it worse is my point. My point is you can make it worse than it is. My opinion. So
maybe be more open, but I'm guessing there's still a lot going on behind the scenes now, Jimmy, that just isn't as public.
You talking about with the $100 handshakes and stuff?
Yeah.
That's not going to stop. You can open it up and saying, okay, you think that's going to stop boosters from giving out $100 handshakes? I'm going to call baloney on that. No,
I didn't,
it's not.
I
think what you're doing is you're – and I'll say this too. I'm not that sympathetic to somebody saying, well, the quarterback's going to get a lot of money, but the offensive lineman's not. Okay, that's the way it is in the world. Some people make more money than others. So that's just kind of – what was that old saying from Pat Summitt that Peyton Manning will repeat? Toughen up, Buttercup. I mean, that's kind of where you are. So you're going to have some players that are going to make a lot of money and some that aren't. That's just the way of the world. So that's not my big concern. My big concern is just to have open and outright recruiting payment for prospects. That's what I
– Right.
That's my concern. That's what I see potentially happening.
Yep,
so that worries me. That's a heck of a – topic, and it's one that has been debated by a lot of people, and I'm on the end that until I see a plan that I like, I'm not going to endorse it. And there may be a plan that I do like. They may come up with something. But you know what? If it comes from the NCAA, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that one, Vince. I haven't seen a whole lot coming out of the NCAA that I like, that I would endorse.
There you go. That's another factor as well. But it's coming. It's just a matter of
when. They're asking Congress for help, I guess. So, anyway. All right. Hey, when we come back, we'll have more. I got a couple of tennis notes to pass along. Got some more with football. An interesting note I want to pass along to you as well to discuss with Vince. If you want to join us, by the way, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. And don't make a $10,000 mistake over a short 10-minute drive. Come see us here at Oak Ridge Nissan, where the Turnpike meets Oak Ridge. And where Illinois Avenue meets the Turnpike in Oak Ridge. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
43 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrara. To join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. I thought this story was pretty interesting, and we've seen some stories that might mirror it. We've seen some stories that would be opposite. Tua Tagovailoa has credited Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback at Miami, with helping develop him, to help show him the ropes, to help him progress as a quarterback. Fitzpatrick said that, "I know I'm the placeholder for Tua." You don't always see that. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers is a good example of that. I think that says a lot for Ryan Fitzpatrick that he's willing to step out and help to tutor Tua. Here's another thing about that, Vince. If I'm the Miami Dolphins and Fitzpatrick's doing that and he brings Tua along and then Tua ends up being a really good quarterback, I think I'm going to find a place for Fitzpatrick in my organization. What do you think?
Absolutely. I certainly would. I think that he is a tremendous ambassador for any NFL team and in the league overall. He's a terrific personality. He understands where he's at. He's not Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. He knows who he is. And, yes, he has swagger that maybe is beyond his productivity overall, but – I think he knows who he is. He knows what the situation is there. And I love the two that they've already made such a connection. Tua showed up at his press meeting, Zoom meeting, wearing a Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey. Respect. Absolutely. He was wearing a 14 of Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is awesome. And it just shows how humble an understanding and aware that the Tua is. By the way, he makes that Miami Dolphins logo on that helmet look better than it's been. It looks a little bit more credible now than it has recently. But yeah, I would give him a gig in with the organization afterwards. Absolutely.
If Tua can stay healthy, I think he can be a star in the NFL. Boy, is he a talented passer. All right, a couple of other notes. As far as the ATP Tour, so they have they got a new schedule out. They're trying to play. This is men's tennis. They're trying to play 13 events in 9 countries from August 22 to November 17. They have been shut down for most of the summer. As most people know, tennis is more difficult to deal with because you got so many players from so many different countries. Different countries have different rules. They got quarantine rules, so it's harder for them to just snap their finger and play these pro events all over the world when you've got all these different protocols. In tennis in Lexington, just outside of Lexington, Serena ends up beating Venus in 3 sets yesterday. This was kind of a sad note. Some folks might recognize the name of Robert Ryland. So he passed away. He was 100 years old. He was the first black tennis pro. He also coached Arthur Ashe, who was one of my favorite players growing up, and he coached the Williams sisters. So Robert Ryland passing away at 100. With the USTA, they have called off 5 lower-level tournaments. There's an ITF, World Tennis Tour, and 4 challengers in September. So why do I bring that up? The Knoxville Challenger is scheduled for November, first part of November. There's not been a decision on that yet, but when you see Challenger events, and that's Knoxville Challenger, when you see Challenger events canceled, you wonder and you about what's going to happen with the Knoxville Challenger. Hopefully they'll be able to have it. We don't know that yet, and I do know that they are committed to having fans at the Knoxville Challenger, or they probably will not have a Knoxville Challenger. So we'll see what happens there. All right, Major League Baseball note, St. Louis. Are the Cardinals, do they still have a team? Well, they haven't played since July the 29th. They're scheduled to play a doubleheader Saturday against the White Sox. So we'll see if I saw where they were going to actually – so it's at Chicago. So the players and personnel were going to end up taking 41 different vehicles to the stadium for that baseball game. That's a long layoff for St. Louis, Vince.
It is, and they'll be playing whenever they do get going. They'll be playing a lot of do have opportunities to make up games. It's going to be a lot of doubleheaders for them. Of course, they should likely do the seven inning variety, but and so they're going to go from nothing for a long period of time with that layoff to cramming in a whole lot of baseball after that. They lost one of their starters, Mikolas, for the season, so they don't have the depth and the staff that they had hoped to. It's going to be tough for them, but it's the circumstances. So the Marlins went a period of time without playing, and they jumped right back in and didn't miss a beat. It's been longer for the Cardinals, but they're also pros, so we'll see.
And I meant to mention this earlier. So Memphis making it into the playoff game against Portland by beating Milwaukee, they had two players that had a triple-double. That's only the 12th time that a team has had two players with a triple-double in the same game. That's pretty stunning to me. John Morant had 12 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. And then Jonas, and I'm going to screw this up, Valanciunas, whatever his name is. Do you know how to pronounce it?
Valanciunas, yeah.
Valanciunas. Yeah, I think I said that. 26 points, 19 rebounds, 12 assists. Two triple-doubles by two Grizzlies in the same game. A rare occurrence, only the 12th time that has ever happened. That's pretty impressive. The Suns end up going 8-0 in the bubble. They defeat the Mavericks. They don't get into the playoffs. But Devin Booker, shock, led them in scoring with 27. Vince, do you think this sets up the Suns to be a team to watch next year with the momentum they carry from playing in the bubble?
Yeah, absolutely. The guys on Inside the NBA last night on TNT were debating who has the better overall young talent in the future. Is it the Memphis Grizzlies or is it the Phoenix Suns? I think that's a terrific debate. Ayton, who was a high draft pick, to go with Devin Booker and many others. They've got some vets like Ricky Rubio that have fit in there in Phoenix too. So I think it's a very close debate on who has the better young talent, because the Grizzlies are certainly loaded too. It's a different Suns team. We can't look at them as the bottom of the league anymore. I think they are in a real good position for next year, and hopefully they're going to maintain it and not have everyone else like Draymond Green or anybody else try to influence Devin Booker to say, I want out, I want to go play for somebody else. Let that franchise resuscitate and get back all the way and let them be competitive. It was fun when they're good.
Yeah. Naismith Hall of Fame basketball inductees, that has been moved to May the 13th through the 15th. They just haven't been able to find a way to get it done with COVID-19 out there. So Tamika Catchings and Kim Mulkey and the late Kobe Bryant, Eddie Sutton, Tim Duncan, among others, it's a fabulous class. That class is going to be inducted May 13 to 15 of next year. It'll be that weekend when they go into the Hall of Fame. Speaking of Hall of Fames, do want to mention that Joan Cronin is going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. That typically is held in June, and because of the virus, they have moved that to December. So her induction ceremony in Louisiana will be in December. Vince, I might be the only one that cares about this, but the Hall of Fame building is on the same block where I grew up in Natchitoches, Louisiana. So that's where Joan Cronin is going to be inducted. It's you can go diagonally to where my house was, and it's a short walk to that Hall of Fame. So glad that she's going in. Good for her. It's a really good class they got going in. And so look forward to maybe having her on again to talk about that induction ceremony in December in Louisiana. I know that means a lot to her. She's from Opelousas, as a lot of people know. And so she's headed into that Hall of Fame, but they've had to delay the procedure to get her in because of the virus situation, making sure that it's going to be safe. Guys, we've had the WAC has stopped all sports until January the 1st, so has the Big Sky, the Horizon League, the Southern Conference. We continue to see conferences bailing out and not having sports. Some are just fall sports, of which basketball is not one, and some are saying we're stopping all operations until January the 1st, so different conferences going in a different route. But we continue to see more conferences stepping aside and not pursuing sports in the fall. It's a shame. In a lot of situations, it's understandable, but it's a shame to see that and kind of to wreck the opportunity for NCAA championships this fall, which I hate. I don't know, Vince, if they can reschedule any of those for the spring. Maybe Brian Penske will have a thought on that. I think he's been involved with some conversation with SEC folks about that for soccer. Maybe we'll see what happens with volleyball and the other sports in the that are considered fall sports, but maybe they are going to try to move it. But my gosh, you're jamming a lot of sports into the spring, aren't you, if you do that?
Yeah, I would guess as long as they can get them in for the experience of the student athletes and their desire to compete, you can't be as worried about all the other things that are going on in your campus. To take away that experience and a dream for many of those, you know, young players to, you know, to be scared off by there's a lot of other things going on. I don't think that's worth it. I think you play them if you can.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that does work. Also, Alabama running back Najee Harris said he never considered opting out. We haven't seen many players from the SEC opting out, Vince, like we had seen from some other areas, right?
No, and, you know, it's interesting because a lot of them have talked about, hey, I feel perfectly safe here when that whole, you know, whether the play or not came out. And is that an indication of how things are actually going in terms of how safe they feel and the resources and everything they have inside their walls? Maybe there's more trepidation at some other places than there have been at SEC schools. Maybe that's an indication of how things are run and how the safety measures that are being taken. I don't know, but we'll see how that moves forward with practices starting next week at the moment.
That's Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. We are at Oak Ridge Nissan, the absolute August sale. You will not find better deals anywhere than what they've got right here at Oak Ridge Nissan. Lowest prices of the year. Come by and see for yourself. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
You want peace and quiet?
Better look somewhere else. 99.1, the sports animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Farrar. We're now pleased to be joined by Scott Gropp, the man with the plan and the sideburns. Scott, how are you?
We're doing, brother. How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing great. You know, and I know this has to be true. Every time you sell a car, you let your sideburns grow a little bit longer,
just
don't you?
A little. Yeah, they're getting there. You know, and you know what's funny is I'll be at Graceland on Monday, so first time
really?
Ever. Yeah, so that'll
oh,
be
wow.
Looking forward to that. I've never been, so I'm going to make that little 10-minute drive and hit Graceland for the first time.
You're going to honor the man with those sideburns.
Yeah,
that's
why they're there.
Yep. Well, you'll honor customers. You do a fantastic job. We've talked about this. Oak Ridge Nissan, Tennessee's number one volume Nissan dealer.
We are definitely the king, thank you very much, of Nissan dealers, folks, in the state of Tennessee, and I'll tell you guys make it happen, and we're just thankful. You know, we just have a real simple math equation. More for yours, less for ours means they save thousands of dollars. It's just that simple. And to be the number one volume Nissan dealer out here in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, that's all you got to do. Just put more in theirs. You know, I've never worried about the mule going blind. I'm loading the wagon in the trades. Everybody knows that. They make the 10-minute drive. I'm going to step up to the plate.
We've talked about how great your service department is, but you also do a lot for people who serve our country, don't you?
And you know that. Year after year, we've been doing these remotes, and we are all about our veterans. We stand with them, and you make your best deal on any car, and advertised or not, and I'll take another $500 off. You mentioned John, Jimmy, and Vince on the and come in here, and I'll put another $1,000 in your trade-in. So we'll load the wagon, you know, take care of them. Because really, we're not even doing remotes without them. So
there are people that have a bump with their credit from time to time. You work with folks, though, that have that situation, don't you?
That's exactly right. And we all know on this little journey, you know, sometimes there's speed bumps come along, bad things happen to really good folks. And, you know, but I'll tell you this, if you can fog a mirror, you can leave here in a brand new Oak Ridge Nissan. The only thing you've got to do is you've got to make the 10-minute drive. And when other dealers tell you no, don't be discouraged. In fact, there was one here that was sent to me that was at another dealer yesterday and left in here, left our dealership in a brand new Kicks. Said she owed too much on her car. Blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? I've got some elbow grease that can fix that. And she made the 10-minute drive, and presto, in her brand-new kick. So that was exciting.
Scott, if you lived in Boca Raton or Baton Rouge, how long would it take to get here?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's from there to Bangladesh, anywhere in between, it's 10 minutes.
Good to know.
We'd make that drive. We'll save thousands during our absolute August sale. It's our lowest prices of the year, Jimmy, and we are making dreams come true.
Scott, we appreciate it.
Jimmy,
you
the man, Jimmy. Thank you.
All right. That's Scott Gropp, Oak Ridge Nissan. Folks, don't pass up this chance. Come out here, lowest prices of the year. I got a couple of golf scores to pass along to you. Knoxville products are doing very, very well. How about this? At the Wyndham Tournament in Greensboro, Peter Malnati comes in with a 65 today. He's 7 under par for the tournament. That ties him for 13th place. And Scott Stalling shot a 66 after a 70 in the opening round. He is 4 under par. He is tied for 45th place. The projected cut is 3 under. No question, both of these players will make the cut. They're going to be playing over the weekend. So that'll be a lot of fun for folks around here to watch that. Peter Malnati, 7 under par. Stallings, 4 under par. Projected cut at 3 under, so good for them. Another note, too, Hunter Walcott, Tennessee golfer, made the round of 32 in the U.S. Amateur that is being played out at in Oregon. And so a strong finish, by a strong performance by him out there. And there was a Lady Vol also that won the state amateur. So we're going to be joined by her on Golf Talk on Monday night. So we look forward to Cardwell joining us as she had an outstanding performance in the Tennessee Women's State Amateur. Very consistent. She was very consistent throughout the tournament, and that allowed her to get the win. She is the second Lady Vol to win that event in the last 3 years, I believe it is. So good for her, and a very, very strong performance by Michaela Bardwell winning the Tennessee Women's State Am. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Tennessee's most recent commit, the number one rated point guard in the country. He comes from Memphis. His name, Kennedy Chandler. We'll have him when we come back. With Vince Ferrar, Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk, 99.1, The Sports Animal.